Hey everybody, I'm Jazz.
And I'm Molly. And welcome, welcome, welcome to
Wild
Wicked
World.
We are back, you guys.
Hello, hello, hello.
We got to do that the second time because she's over here crying and like messing the whole intro up and shit.
Guys, I did a yawn and like tears just started like flowing out of my eyes.
Oh, good Lord. So we talked about it a little bit in our Mini Wicked, but some people don't listen to our Mini Wicked. So we'll talk again about the fact that we went to the zoo yesterday. We didn't go together, though. We went separately with separate groups, but...
Yeah.
We did see each other when we first got there.
Molly almost didn't even recognize
me. No, I didn't. I wasn't paying attention to people around me. It was my kids that were like, apparently Devin said to Lyric,
"Yeah,
that's Jasmine right there." And then Jasmine said to me, "Mom, I think that really looks like Jasmine right there." And then I looked, I said, "Because that is Jasmine."
And to be fair, I didn't have sunglasses on.
I mean, you can't cover up that hair, bro. Yeah. I know the hair, I know the tattoos. So I'm like, yeah, that's Jasmine.
Yeah, I had the hair out, tattoos out, so boom.
I mean, we were literally standing like right next to each other.
Yeah.
No fucking joke. You didn't fucking recognize me. I recognize you.
Let me be honest with you. I don't ever recognize nobody. Like when me and my sister got there and we were looking for Shy and Brandy, Nikki's like, they're right there. I'm like, huh? Where are they? And when Letitia and... Jamie pulled up, I was like staring at him like, oh wait a minute, hi.
I went right by them too. Uh-huh. Like they were standing there waiting for us, and she called me, she's like, where are you? And then I look and she's right there. I'm like, oh, there you are.
It's hard to recognize people in a big group
of yeah students. There was a lot of people at the zoo yesterday. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, I guess a lot of people had Good Friday.
Did you guys stay long?
Well, we left probably about 2:30 because I had to go pick Davey up. Mm-hmm. He was at work.
That's what I figured, because we stayed until like 3:30-ish, and I was like, oh, I wonder if Molly's here. I was like, oh, no, they probably left because she had to get Davey.
But we almost saw everything except mm-hmm. for the aquarium, and so.
The aquarium was, oh my God, that line.
I can't wait to see it, though. We're going to go again in April because we have the free coupon, so.
I'm ready for April. March has been kind of long.
You know, it does seem like a fucking long month. I don't understand that. Our flag football is going to be coming up.
I know. I'm ready.
Yeah, they can the 12th and 13th. I better, is that what it is?
Yeah, I better get back to it. Well, I was actually practicing or catching with my cousin a few days ago.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to work. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Just give me the ball. That's all I got to say.
All right. Do you have a jazz talk?
I do. Okay, so this one's a little different since this whole thing, like what? He Diddy has been all over the news. And so, okay, so take, and okay, so a fight. Who do you think will win? P. Diddy or is it Bill Cosby who's in jail right now because of all that shit that went down with him?
Yeah.
Okay, they're battling now. Who do you think is going to win?
Like a fist fight?
Yeah, they're fighting it to the
I'm going to have to go with Diddy because Bill Cosby's old as fuck. So, I mean, I'm going to have to go with Diddy, although I would... Like both of them just knock each other out.
Somebody,
if
I say somebody, just come take them both out. Yeah, it's a crazy. Did they end up ever even catching P. Diddy?
I think it's still, you know, it's still ongoing. It just shows you that people that have power sometimes just certainly abuse it. Most people who have power certainly abuse it. And you know, I'm just glad that things come to light and that. And people fight against that stuff sometimes.
Yeah. The sad thing about it is, like, there's more people even like him in Hollywood.
I've never liked Diddy, so I've never been a fan.
He's always gave off creepy vibes.
Yeah, I've never been a fan. So it makes me think about Jennifer Lopez, too. Like, she was with him for a while, so kind of things are in her closet.
He's had a lot of females.
And she doesn't seem to be able to keep a fucking man. So, I mean, Jesus, man. Serial fucking bride.
Serial bride is crazy.
And now she's back with Ben Affleck, which...
They're back together?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Girl, how do I know this and you don't?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they are.
That's all I got.
Yeah, no shit. Anyway, all right. That's an all right one, I guess.
I came up with it, like, very last minute.
Yeah. All right. So now we'll go into my thing, the odd true crime story. This one's a pretty interesting one. It's about a German family that was murdered. So in April 1922, family and their maid were found murdered at their farm in Hinterkaifeck, Germany. On April 4th, 1922, Lawrence Schlittenbauer noticed his neighbor's mail stacking up at their farm in rural, I hate that word. Rural. Always fucking hate that word. Hinterkaifeck, worried something was wrong at the farm. Schlittenbauer recruited fellow neighbors Jacob Siegel and Michael Pohl to help him investigate. Finding the home's front door locked, the man headed to the barn where they discovered the bodies of Victoria Gabriel, 35, her daughter, Kazila, 7, and Victoria's parents, Andres Gruber, 64, and Kazilia Gruber, 72. Each family member was killed with multiple blows to the head. The bodies had been stacked on top of each other and covered by a board and some hay. Wanting to investigate the home, the men found a hallway connecting the barn to the main house. Inside, the men found the bodies of the family's 44-year-old maid, Maria Baumgartner, and Victoria's 2-year-old son, Joseph. Both Maria and Joseph had been bludgeoned to death in their beds. So the weird thing about this is that someone had lived in the house for days after the murders. Although the murders at the Hinterkaifeck farm weren't discovered until April 4th, police determined the family had all died on the evening of Friday, March 31st. This had been Maria Baumgartner's first day working as the family's maid. How unfortunate for her. And her sister later confirmed everyone was alive when she visited Maria at the farm that afternoon. Following day, two coffee salesmen came by the farm, but no one answered the door. However, smoke was coming from the chimney and someone had seemingly fed the family's livestock. A repairman also arrived at the house on April 4th, but found no one there. The mail piling up, the family missing church on Sunday, and Kazilia not showing up for school all led to the search of the barn and the eventual discovery of the murders. So a series of strange events occurred before the murders. In the months and weeks leading up to the killings, a number of strange events occurred at the Hinterkaifeck farm. 6 months prior, the family's previous maid reportedly quit after hearing footsteps in the attic, which made her believe the house was haunted. Neighbors also told police Andreas Gruber found footprints in the snow that began at the woods surrounding the farm and ended at the barn. However, he could find no footprints leading away from the barn. This revelation led to the theory that the killer hid in the barn and perhaps the attic, which some thought accounted for the footsteps the previous maid heard. Andreas also mentioned his keys had gone missing and he found a newspaper he didn't subscribe to in the home. He declined to borrow a gun from one of his neighbors to protect himself and his family. So the main thing about this is that they think that this whoever killed him, it's never been solved, by the way. Mm-hmm. Whoever killed him, they lived there in the barn in the attic possibly before and then slaughtered the whole family and everything and then continued to live in the house for a few days afterwards.
That definitely is very creepy.
And it's never been solved. So that's the creepy part of it. I mean, this was 1922. So, I mean, it wasn't as easy to solve these things, but yeah.
The fact that someone was there and no one even noticed was crazy.
I mean, except for the maid. And then how unfortunate that was the maid's first day working for this family.
She ain't never going to be the same. She said, I don't want to be a maid ever again.
Well, no, she's dead. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she died.
Aww.
She was murdered.
Damn, yeah. Poor maid.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's very unfortunate for her.
What a...
Okay, so that was our on to crime story for this week's episode. Jazz, what time is it?
Time to fuck around and find out, Molly.
See how simple that one was?
Yeah.
So this week, it's another Mean Girl edition, which we've only done, what, one of?
Yeah.
The Shonda Scherer one.
Which was really good.
Yeah. This one is pretty fucked up, too, but it's not quite as detailed as that one, because there really wasn't a lot of super details out there, but it's still fucked up. And this is the murder of Skylar Neese. 16-year-old Skylar Neese disappeared from her home in Star City, West Virginia, around midnight on July 6, 2012. Neese's remains were found on January 16, 2013, in Wayne Township, Pennsylvania. So that was, what, 6 months later? Yeah, 6 months later, her body was found.
It's, so 2012, like, doesn't it seem like it was far away, but not, like, super far away?
12 years ago.
Yeah, but it's just crazy. Like, time is crazy.
Dude, I feel like the 80s were still just 20 years ago, but it's not. So that's what fucks me up at night, okay? So on May 1st, 2013, teenager Rachel Schoaf pleaded guilty to second-degree murder, telling authorities that she and another teenager, Sheila Eddy, planned and carried out Niece's murder. Niece's disappearance led to new West Virginia legislation that made changes to the Amber Alert missing child alert system. So this case had a huge impact on the Amber Alert system. So they, at least what this horrific thing made something better come out
for the future.
Yeah. On July 6, 2012, Niece returned to her family's Star City, West Virginia apartment after working a shift. God, this shirt is so loud.
I was like, what's going on with your titties?
After working a shift at a fast food restaurant, she disappeared from her home that night. According to her father, David Niece, apartment complex surveillance video showed the teenager leaving the apartment by the window around midnight and getting into an unknown sedan. Niece's father said that she did not take her cell phone charger, that her window was left open, and that she planned on coming home. For months, police investigated several unprotected leads in Niece's disappearance. Niece was initially considered to be a runaway by law enforcement authorities, and an Amber Alert was not immediately issued in connection with her disappearance. An early tip indicated that Niece had been seen in North Carolina, but the Star City Police Department determined that the individual spotted was not Niece. Niece's parents posted flyers around their missing daughter in Mungalia County region. Police determined that the unknown sedan in which Skylar Niece was last seen belonged to one of her friends and interviewed her. The friend, Sheila Eddy, admitted picking up Niece but stated that she had dropped her off an hour later. The FBI joined the search for Skylar Niece on September 10, 2012, and began interviewing Niece's school friends. A major break in the case was made when Rachel Schoaf admitted plotting with fellow teenager Sheila Eddy to kill her. Dave Niece stated that these two girls were among his daughter's best friends, and that they had helped the family look for her by distributing missing person flyers. After her confession, Rachel Schoaf led investigators to Niece's body.
That is so evil.
Yeah. On March 13, 2013, U.S. Attorney William J. Einfeld, too, released a press release stating that a body found in Wayne Township, Greene County, Pennsylvania, on January 16, 2013, had been scientifically identified as being the remains of Niece. Niece's remains were found less than 30 miles away from her home. On May 1, 2013, Schoaf pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. According to the court transcript, Schoaf said that she and Eddie picked up Niece in Eddie's car. The girls drove to Pennsylvania, got out of the car, and began socializing. At a prearranged time, Schoaf and Eddie stabbed Niece to death. The teens attempted to bury Niece's body but were unable to do so and instead covered the body with branches. Court transcript indicates that other students overheard conversations between Schoaf and Eddie about the murder plot but failed to report it, mistakenly believing that the girls were joking. According to Schoaf's plea agreement, she pleaded guilty to murder in the second degree by unlawfully, feloniously, willfully, maliciously, and intentionally. Can they have any more bigger words there? Causing the death of Skylar Niece by stabbing her and causing fatal injuries. In the plea agreement, the state of West Virginia recommended a sentence of 20 years incarceration. Fuck you. Mm. Rachel Schoaf expressed remorse and apologized to the nieces, her own family, and God during her sentencing. Schoaf further expressed remorse in her May 2023 parole hearing and finally gave a motive for the crime, which was that she and Eddie had been in a romantic relationship and this caused tension between the couple and Niece. She was denied parole and remains incarcerated. Schoaf's family also issued a public apology for her actions through their lawyer. On September 4th, 2013, West Virginia prosecutors publicly identified Eddie as the second alleged perpetrator of the murder of Niece and announced that she would be tried as an adult. Eddie was indicted by a grand jury on September 6, 2013, on one count of kidnapping, one count of first-degree murder, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder. She pleaded not guilty. The date of the trial was originally set for January 28, 2014. Facing the prospects of additional charges from Pennsylvania authorities, Eddie pleaded guilty to first-degree murder. She expressed no remorse but was sentenced to life in prison, with mercy, All sentenced as an adult, West Virginia law has confirmed for entire U.S. and SCOTUS 2012 decision Miller versus Alabama requires that a juvenile offender have a possibility of parole on a whole life sentence, with Eddie eligible for parole after 15 years. Pennsylvania authorities did not file charges as per the plea deal. Following her guilty plea on May 1st, 2013, on February 26, 2014, Shove received a sentence of 30 years in prison with eligibility for parole after 10 years. Eddie originally was held in a facility for juveniles after her arrest. As of September 2023, Eddie, born September 28, 1995, age 28, remains in custody at the Lacon Correctional Center, adjacent to the Ohio River, West Virginia's western border with Ohio. As of September 2023, Shove, born June 10th, day before my birthday, also remains in custody at LCL. So they're in the same prison together. An Amber Alert was not issued in Skylar Niece's disappearance because the circumstances did not meet all four criteria for an alert to be issued. A child is believed to be abducted. Two, the child is under 18. Three, the child may be in danger of death or serious injury. Four, there is sufficient information to indicate the Amber Alert would be helpful. A waiting period of 48 hours had to elapse before a teenager could be considered missing. A West Virginia state legislator from the Niece Family Home District introduced a bill called Skylar's Law to modify West Virginia's Amber Alert plan to issue immediate public announcements when any child is reported missing and in danger, regardless of whether the child is believed to have been kidnapped. Opinion columns appeared in both West Virginia and national media in support of Skylar's Law, some of which also acknowledged criticism and drawbacks of the legislation. On March 27, 2013, the West Virginia House of Delegates approved Skylar's Law with a 98-0 vote. On April 12, 2013, the West Virginia Senate unanimously passed the law, but made minor technical changes to the bill, which the House of Delegates voted to accept on the same day. West Virginia Governor Earl Ray Tomlin signed the legislation into law in May 2013. So it didn't happen too long, too, after the whole trial and everything. So they didn't, like everything else in our justice system and judicial and legislate, all that takes forever, but they didn't waste any time on this.
Good.
One time our government did something right.
I'm proud.
Yeah, because, you know, protecting our children should always be the number one priority.
Stupid girls.
They're the future. That should always be our number one priority, no matter what. In my opinion, IMO. So, all right. So that is our episode this week.
I was like, mini wiki.
So next week, I know this isn't the longest episode, and I have people bitching at me that we got to get longer episodes, mainly bitching at Jasmine.
Yeah, yeah.
Then she bitches at me.
I heard enough.
But sometimes it's just not all the details out there. I don't have all the time for research and shit, so whatever. But I'm about to do a big boy starting next week. Don't know who yet, because we haven't really covered too many big boys. Enough, but not too many. So I'm going to do something. We'll surprise you. And it more than likely will be a two-parter. So you'll get 2 weeks of it. So.
And watch who you trust out here. Don't call everyone your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of that, I need to get into my accent right here so I say the right thing. do not. Yeah. Make sure that your friends are true friends. For sure.
We don't need your friends killing you.
It's always quality over quantity. You don't need a bunch of friends. Just make sure that the friends that you do have are ride or die friends, and they won't fucking kill you when you're least expecting it.
Because jealousy is crazy.
Yes, for sure. Bitches be crazy. So if you would like to contact us, you can do so at
3wpodcast2022@gmail.com.
Make sure you follow our TikTok and Instagram, both at
3wpodcast.
Like our Facebook and join the discussion group, both at
Wild Wicked World.
And don't forget the X page at
3wpodcast2022.
There you go. All right, guys, let's not murder our friends out of jealousy or anything for that matter. Just be decent humans. Okay, bye-bye now.
All right. Now a little about our first ever sponsor, helping us to get this show a-going. Let's Move KC. Not only is this a family-owned business by my cousin Morgan and her husband Brett, my oldest son also worked for them the summer after he graduated high school. With over 20 years of professional moving and storage experience, they are proud to be a family-owned and operated business right here in the KC metro area. Their services range anywhere from local moving to interstate moving, packing and unpacking. One item or whole household and storage is available upon request. They offer specialty moving services as well. Piano, baby grand, grand upright and spine, safes, hot tubs, or any other unique thing you may have. They are fully insured and offer additional insurance upon request. Their main goal is to make sure you feel comfortable and safe in a stressful time like moving by handling your personal stuff like it was their own. Whatever you need, whatever your need is, they can make it happen. So if you're about to move, and this goes for any of our listeners in any states, they're a moving service for any size in any state. Check them out at letsmovekcmovers.com or check them out on Facebook under the name Let's Move KC.